All right, welcome everyone to another Wednesday evening here on peoplesinternetradio.com. I'm also on PSN Radio and APRI Radio Network, thanks to Kyler and Mary. I have a very special guest on. She's a returning guest. She's a life coach. She's also a empathic healer. I want to welcome back Jessica Ahlstrom to the show. Welcome, Jessica.
Hey, Stephen, how are you doing?
Oh, very good. We are on, I had to call your phone. You weren't able to make a Skype connection tonight.
I will get this computer thing worked out one of these weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a very interesting topic we're going to discuss tonight. That's PTSD, isn't it?
Yes, we're going to talk about PTSD. And, from what I'm seeing worldwide right now, it seems that everyone who I have come into contact with, you know, in the last 15 years since I've been doing this professionally is dealing with some sort of PTSD on some level. And that's not to, not give due credit to our veterans or anything like that. But I'm hoping over the next hour to kind of take all of your listeners in a journey of what kind of takes place to create a post-traumatic stress disorder and how that actually biochemically entrains in the body and becomes automatic. So is it all right if I just jump in?
Absolutely.
Okay. So basically, my background is, I've studied everything from quantum physics to, intense detailed biochemistry to epigenetics to human nutrition and all of the healing arts. And so healing has been a passion for me since I was a child, just looking for answers and looking for ways to heal my own traumas growing up in less than a perfect childhood, as most of us did. Not to mention the traumas that actually take place in our lives. And as adults, we tend to, kind of belittle the experiences we had when we were children because, we're grown-ups and we, that wasn't really a big deal or, everyone goes through that or, but the truth of it is the body becomes traumatized three different ways, physical trauma, chemical trauma, and emotional trauma. And something like a physical trauma would be like a fall or some sort of abuse or getting hit by a car or having an accident or banging your head hard enough or having, something where the body was physically traumatized and what that does is it creates kind of a break in circuitry in the nervous system.
Yeah.
And just the body. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to know, can I tell you something quick? It was in 1985, coming up on 30 years here now, I was in an accident. I didn't actually think I was physically hurt, but within a couple of months, my neck, within a few weeks, my neck started hurting bad. Mm-hmm. And I was into the bodybuilding scene, powerlifting, my muscles, or actually my joints started breaking down, and I wasn't able to lift anymore, and I mm-hmm. subsequently had to quit within 4 or 5 months of the accident.
Exactly, and it's funny because when the doctors will look at that, they're looking for something major. They're not looking for a string of things that happen. So think about when a trauma happens in the body, it has a domino effect. It affects every single cell in the entire body, depending on the depth of the trauma. And if we already have some sort of emotional trauma in the body, and then we put a physical trauma on top of that, and then say our diet isn't perfect, or we're exposed to, like, let's say mercury fillings in the mouth or something like that, now we've got chemical trauma as well processing in the body. What that will do is it will overstimulate the immune system, and the nervous system will stay in fight or flight because it's trying to survive. And that is what fight or flight is all about, is to get you out of a dangerous situation and give you enough energy where you can move out of that, scary situation or trauma situation and then get back to rest and repair. But in a situation when your body is dealing with emotional trauma, which can come from childhood, which most of us have at some sector, and then we have a physical accident on top of that that causes this, the physical component of the trauma, and then the chemical element, which could even be, could just be too many dosages of antibiotics that overstimulate, and, you know, the natural alkaline yeast byproducts in the body, and the nervous system and the immune system literally become, they become its own enemy. And that's where autoimmune comes from. So autoimmune comes from, okay, so my body's in fight or flight, so I am overstimulated and my immune system is working overtime because I have, you know, a physical trauma, emotional trauma, and chemical trauma all processing at the same time. And I don't, you know, the immune system is saying, I give up. And basically when that happens, we develop the autoimmune situations, or, like, you know, the RA or the diabetes begins. So it's not like our diet is just the main culprit for any of these things, you know, getting into one car accident. It's the accumulation of overstimulated nervous system from a long period of time with a immune system that can't do its job properly that causes dis-ease. And so we really want to make sure that we don't put so much attention on the word disease, because it's really just a body that's not at ease.
Yeah.
And I have seen miraculous healing from people who have so-called diseases when we rebalance the nervous system, and we rebalance the nervous system, the immune system gets to calm down a little bit, and the body can begin to gradually repair itself. So,
well, that's what I
believe.
Want.
Go ahead.
That's what I'm hoping for. I actually never sought any medical attention after the accident, because I didn't think I was actually hurt at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure if I even really knew what whiplash was back then. I'm sure I had heard of it, but I never really put any kind of a correlation, you know.
Any sort of trauma like that, even if you're walking away going, well, I think I'm okay, does not mean that your body is.
Right.
You know, I have seen people destroy their nervous systems by just sitting at a desk for 7 hours a day, because what that actually does is it changes the pathway of the spine.
And
it changes the ability for the energy to flow from the left and right hemisphere down to the communication, which is the brain's tail, which is the nervous system. And at that point, it starts to repattern the communication, because we have to look at the nervous system as a central communication. It's the information highway. It's the fast track. And when we jeopardize anything to do with the spinal cord, the neck, or anything to do with the, you know, when we look at spinal cord, neck, back, knees, legs, this is all an energy communication highway that the body is trying to stay in communication with. And when those circuits kind of go haywire, like an injury can kind of bump your circuitry offline. So now your brain and body aren't communicating properly anymore. And you can still function, and you could even maybe still function without a huge amount of pain. But, you know, just add a few years onto that of constant imbalance, and the body starts to degenerate, you know. And see, the thing is once the nervous system is affected, it starts to kind of affect everything else. It can affect our thyroid and our ability to handle sugars in the pancreas, and the ability for liver to move, you know, toxins through. It affects metabolism and the way that we think and the way that we breathe. If you've ever noticed anyone who has fight or flight or some sort of pain, chronic pain, depression, any sort of physical or emotional ailment, you'll notice that they're shallow breathers. And that is a sure sign of post-traumatic stress. So if you look at someone who's afraid, they are going to shallow breathe, even if they say, oh, I'm not afraid, I'm fine. Their body is stuck in that trauma.
I see.
So when we shallow breathe, we're not getting the oxygen in our body either. And when we shallow breathe, our brain says, oh, we aren't safe. So there's a very, very big disconnect between brain and body that takes place when we suffer from any sort of trauma. And in your case, you know, you're telling me a little bit before the radio show and just now about, you know, the accident that you had. And that's absolutely a huge deal. It's like that changed the whole structure of how your body healed itself and was able to regenerate. Like, once that memory is offline of how to fix itself, it starts to do the best it can.
I'm not so sure that it ever did, Jessica, because within a matter of 3 or 4 months, I couldn't lift anymore. My elbows and my knees were collapsing under the under the pressure of lifting, and I had to just stop lifting within 5 or 6 months. And I kept going for 3 or 4 years with just little aches and pains, and I just attributed it to be getting closer to the age of 30, and actually wasn't even hardly 25. But you know, when I did get hit in 1991 with the full RA, I still wasn't even 30 yet, so I didn't, you know, I just didn't make any kind of correlations.
Right, right. And yeah, and that's exactly why I wanted to kind of talk about this on the radio, because that's what you're going through. I mean, I have several clients that have gone through that too, and it's by the time they get to me, they've already been dealing with this for 10, 15 years, and, you know, some of them are in wheelchairs by at that point with the RA. But what I have seen is that the best way for us to really treat post-traumatic stress disorder is not through action. And the reason why is because, you know, if we try to do something with the body to take it out of a stress response, it's going to react. So the best way for us to actually heal the fight or flight and heal the post-traumatic stress that's going on, giving the body the wrong signal, so that it can't regenerate and heal on its own, and that's all that's happening with you, is we have to do it through re-brain entrainment, okay? And so it's almost like a reprogramming of the brain to let the brain know, okay, it's safe for me to heal. And, you know, you and I have also talked about your childhood being less than a safe space. So we also have a huge emotional trauma component there, which is probably when you had the accident, it was just like the double whammy. You know, it was like the body could not come back from having the emotional trauma and then the physical trauma on top of that. Just basically the brain signals with to the body is, okay, we're not safe enough to heal, so let's start degenerating.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's taking place, is it's degenerating.
Yeah.
So when we do brain entrainment, you know, usually what I'll do is, as someone who is in a situation like yours, is we will do a process of 4 different ways of kind of attacking the problem, which is repatterning, meaning kind of subliminal information moving through the left and right hemisphere, certain frequency music that changes our beta brainwave into a theta brainwave, which is the relaxation and the imagination and the safe space. So when we're in beta brainwave, we're in kind of defense and attack. And that's where most of people live all day long. And that's why they think a lot. And they say, oh, I can't meditate because my brain is just always on. And it's just thinking, 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 thinking. And that means that your brain is actually in beta, which is when we're in beta, we're in fight or flight, even if we're completely calm. So we have to move the brain into theta in order to get into a deep feeling of relaxation and safety. And then we have to add subliminal information in the background so that we can start repatterning some of the trauma emotionally and physically to give the brain a new command to send a new information to the nervous system so the nervous system can tell the body. Does that make sense?
Sure it does. Yes.
Okay. So another thing that we do too with this process is we use light and sound therapy. So because all of this is frequency-based healing instead of action-based healing, meaning I would not have, you know, a hands-on healer touch someone who had post-traumatic stress disorder because that would actually trigger the body to react. So we take someone with emotional or physical or chemical abuse and we do this byproduct of, you know, binaural beats to move into theta, you know, recalibrate basically the nervous system to bring the feeling of safety and security back into the body. We have the light and sound therapy that work on the meridians of the body. Now, the meridians of the body are kind of like the information highway for your emotions. Your emotional trauma is stored in the meridians, and that's why for thousands of years people have done acupuncture, because acupuncture actually releases those emotional charges in the body. So that's another thing that we'll do is we'll release that energy. And the byproduct of having the music, the sound, the frequency of light, and the subliminal information, all in one healing process is getting us phenomenal results. So I've never been one, you know, I'm very holistic minded. I have never been one to, you know, dive into necessarily any supplements or retail products in my practice, but what we're looking at this day and age is we need an intervention because, you know, chiropractors can't work on the nervous system enough to repattern physical, chemical, and emotional trauma in the body. They can definitely give relief. You know, I've worked with chiropractors in the past in acupuncturists, and it's amazing relief, but it's not as fast as having all four of those components in one device. And on another radio show that I did through Voice America, I actually had Dr. Patrick Porter on my show, who was the co-inventor of, we call it the MindFit. And what it is it's a device that you wear, you know, it's kind of like these light and sound therapy glasses, headphones that have all of this technology built into it. And so basically you're receiving this amazing healing session between 7 and 29 minutes. And even after one session, we have seen people break their insomnia cycles, break pain cycles, feel more relaxed. We've had people lose weight with these devices, stop smoking, get over their phobias, leave stressful situations where they couldn't leave because they didn't feel safe. And then we've had the body repair. We've had the body start to say, okay, I'm getting some new information. Because that's all your body is technically looking for, is it's looking for the commands coming from the brain that it's safe.
Well, that's all I want. I want to lose a ton of weight, get rid of the sugar, and get rid of the RA.
Right.
I know it sounds simple, yeah. Doesn't it?
No, that's exactly what you want. This is actually technology that I use in my practice here at Transcendence. And we have had probably more success with this particular device in conjunction with, you know, healthy diet and life coaching is kind of, to me, it's a triple threat. It's like what I can't do in a life coaching session. The MindFit device is working overtime on the immune system and the nervous system to rebalance and restore. We're even hearing amazing testimonials how they're putting autistic kids with this device, and it's helping repattern the alpha, the theta, and the beta brainwaves in connection to give these autistic kids more space in their thought process, and they're able to function in regular school. And so we're having amazing success with this device. I definitely want to get you one of these immediately so that you can start your healing process in conjunction with working with me a little bit on some of the emotional things that we've talked about. I do believe that we need to process that stuff. Anything that we don't process throughout our life, we store in the body, and the body's kind of like one big storage bank for everything bad, good that's ever happened to us, and we do need to release that. And so in this conjunction with this device, we're seeing what would normally take a year in therapy is taking less than 3 months to see significant difference.
That's good. Do you think being able to love oneself has a lot to do with that also?
Well, let's just be honest here. It's pretty darn hard to love yourself when it hurts all the time and it doesn't do what you want it to do. It's not on your team. It's pretty hard to love it, you know.
Yeah.
So the step before self-love comes, okay, let me break some pain cycles.
Yes.
Let me break this emotional cycle. Let me break this, you know.
You can't break them all at once, can you?
Yeah. And then it's like then when you start feeling good, you can get some space there, and then you can start working on that new relationship with yourself where you can trust your body. Because right now, there's a distrust between you and your body. And because your body is not doing what you want it to do, and it's not doing it on purpose, it's doing it because it's been programmed that way through pain and suffering. And when you program anything with that, the byproduct is pain and suffering.
I see.
So it's really about the first step in all of this is kind of understanding and accepting that on some level we are all dealing with a certain level of PTSD, whether it be the rough childhood, you know, the lack of nurturing or loving, or, you know, not being seen or heard, or our value hasn't been seen or heard, and then being criticized. I mean, humiliation is a trauma. You know, when you go to school and you're humiliated for the way you're different or look, that is considered an emotional trauma in the body. And the body will remind you of that trauma throughout the rest of your life until you break that pattern. So it isn't just about abuse. It's about negative feelings of any kind that impact the biochemistry. So what I've seen energetically is most of the negative patterns that break the body down are fear, guilt, shame, resentment, humiliation. And those are pretty much the five that when I'm looking at someone, that's where the emotional trauma is stored. So at that level, we've got to release that. And that's what acupuncture has done with for our bodies for thousands of years. But to, you know, to really process, like you said, 30 years of abuse under your belt, it's going to take several sessions of a really good qualified intuitive acupuncturist to remove the emotional damage that's in the, you know, that's in the meridian system.
I got to tell you something, Jessica. It was in 1998. I met a chiropractor. He was a brother of a friend of mine. He had just started a practice up in my area, and about 6 to 8 months after he started the practice, I started going to him, and I told him I had been my diagnosis was rheumatoid back in 91, I said, and he said, "Oh, really? Well, we'll just see what." We'll just see really what you have. He didn't believe I had RA. He just thought there was some other kind of a underlying problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it just kind of struck me.
So he didn't diagnose you with RA.
No. He thought there was some other kind of problem, and he told me that he could probably have me cured within 6 months just with chiropractic visits, and
mm-hmm.
I seen him for 18 months, and I wasn't doing any better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking back on it now,
and unfortunately, he's working on one component of you.
Yes,
and
yes.
There's three components of you.
Yes.
So there's the body, which he was working on.
Yes.
There's the emotional side of you, which is, you know, that we could call it the mind. And then there's that higher aspect of you that that wants to feel well.
Yes.
And so, you know, I refer to that as the me, myself, and I.
Yeah.
And it's not about working on one component because we're, you know, for you, yes, the physical accident spurred the final disconnection in the nervous system, but that's not the underlying root cause of the suffering you've been going through. Your first line of trauma comes from emotions. So, you know, unless you're going to do some serious brain entrainment, working with a qualified life coach to work through some of this stuff from the past, do light sound therapy, which is all frequency-based healing that basically recodes the whole circuitry of your biocomputer. So basically your body is more like a computer than it is like anything else. And it is set in programs, and programs of trauma are basically constantly running in your system, so your cells and the body is constantly being traumatized over and over again. So if it starts with emotional patterns, then it's really hard to just go see a chiropractor and get completely well in 6 months.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We need to have all three aspects. We need to have, you know, we need to change some belief systems. We need to break some energetic patterns. We need to do some emotional release. We need to do some, you know, brain re-entrainment,
yes.
Some light therapy, some sound therapy. It's like hitting it from every single different angle is the only way with your level of trauma that we would make any progress.
Yes. Did I tell you in the past, or I have conversations with so many people, but did I tell you that my emotional trauma probably started happening at the age of 7.
Mm-hmm.
Did
yeah.
I? Okay.
Do you want to share a little bit about that?
My parents divorced at the age of 7, and I started to develop emotional problems. I would do obsessive compulsive things. I would take my finger and twist it into my hair and twist out little balls of hair.
Mm-hmm.
I just started doing destructive things, I think, abusive things.
Mm-hmm.
I was sent to what I thought was a speech therapist because I started to develop a stutter, a bad, bad stutter. But mm-hmm. I found out about 4 years back it was actually a psychiatrist or a something like that, a psychotherapist, and that kind of put a little shock to my system because I thought I was just a speech therapist.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So yeah, I mean, the thing is for you to even develop some sort of abusive OCD pattern as a young child, there had to have been some underlying trauma that was
yes.
causing the body to have that. Usually what I see is people who have some level of OCD or abusive, self-abusive patterning, it's coming from a place of not feeling safe and nurtured, and not having the adequate perspective of what love is. So, like, the perfect example is if your mother says, "I love you," and then she hits you, we download the information in our body that love equals pain. So, or love equals mom's not here, or love equals whatever, fill in the blank. And then we develop that through being in a constant state of a sponge-like presence between 0 and 7 years old, where we're just recording everything that is possibly happening, and then we're developing our own ideas and belief systems based on what we see, hear, feel, and experience. So we develop what love and safety looks like by what is gifted to us, and then we can only act accordingly to that, those teachings. So that's why the young girl will, you know, have the emotionally detached father, and then believe in her heart that that's what love is. So when she's an adult, she's going to look for the emotional unattached man, because that's what love is. So our patterns of trauma don't just affect the health of our body. They affect the way we behave. They affect our survival issues. They affect our ability to interact with other people and live safe lives. Because if we've had any safety issues of the past, then the world becomes a byproduct of I'm not safe, or I don't have what I need. And so the psyche, the mind, and the body together will constantly be searching for safety and nurturing. Unfortunately, a lot of the times, those things that the body is seeking out is coming from a place of fear, so we choose unhealthy things to satisfy us. So like a byproduct for me of kind of emotional abuse would be I carried a lot of extra weight because it was like a form of protection for me, you know, and my body was craving foods because it made me feel safe.
Yes.
Right? And that was my way of I could self-nurture because I didn't have, lack of nurturing.
Food doesn't tell you that you're stupid, and food doesn't tell you.
Oh, it loves you unconditionally, right?
Yes, yes, it does.
It doesn't judge you.
That's right.
But it is. Unfortunately, we're only nurturing the wounds. We're only nurturing the trauma, because by gluttonous eating or overeating, we're actually not doing anything for the health of our body. We're actually just kind of feeding the wound. We're feeding the trauma. We're trying to keep the feelings of pain and suffering at bay. So, but to see, the thing is when someone comes to me and sits down and says, "Oh, I want to lose 50 pounds," I say, "No, you want to feel safe." So, I say to them, you know, let's get you there first, and then a byproduct of that will be your body will get rid of everything. Because the body really, I can't reiterate this enough, the body really, its natural state of being is health. And I'm not talking about being a size 2 model. I'm talking about a perfect health for who you are and a perfect size for who you are and whatever that looks like. But the body has a tendency, once it starts to feel safe, to recalibrate to your perfect weight and size. So it's like you might crave different foods, yes, the brain will start craving different foods, and you might crave more movement, but you'll also have the energy to back that up so that you can move if you need to. You know, your circulation starts to move better in your body and healing starts to occur, so you actually have motivation. See, that's the thing is people say, "Oh, I just don't have motivation." Well, of course, your body is in safety mode. It's keeping you at an idle place because that's safe. So again, we really have to, as a culture, you know, and me, you know, being kind of a spiritual teacher at times, I like to spend more time getting that body balanced and healthy than working on any sort of spirituality, because I think spirituality is just our is who we are. We don't need help in that area usually. Once we feel good, we know exactly who we are and we can love ourselves. But it's when we don't feel good and our body is constantly working against us, craving things, needing things, addictive behaviors, lack of ability to have proper sleep cycles, an overactive racing thinking mind, the body starts to become our enemy.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to move into self-love when we haven't worked through any of what we really need to work through.
Yeah. By the way, about, 3 or 4 weeks back, I seen your associate, Sue, something came across my wall. She was trying some kind of a liquid detox, or just a water only detox or something like that. Whatever happened to that?
Oh gosh, well, she lost about 10 or 15 pounds. But here's the thing is she does this mindset almost religiously. So I'll explain to Susie a little bit. She loves to tell her story. She actually got into this whole world. Susie's actually my business partner in Trenton. We own Trenton together.
Okay.
She came from a very long line of being extremely ill, in and out of the hospital most of her life, diagnosed with borderline autoimmune disease early on, had hair loss, high levels of fear, just chronic kidney infections and rashes, allergies, you name it, the whole gamut. And she started doing this mindset program about, I would say about 2 years ago for just overall health and improvement. She quit smoking just by using this. It's because it's built-in hypnosis as well, which is a subliminal information. And she lost weight. She got over her fear of water and was actually able to scuba dive with the dolphins last year. And so her phobia is gone. But what's funny is now her body will just naturally tell her, I really feel like I need to do a water fast. It's almost like I need to go change the oil in my car.
Uh-huh.
You know, because again, our bodies need time to rest and reboot, and fasts are a great way to do that, but fasts take willpower. So she was just very inspired after one of her mindset sessions to go in and say, I'm going to do a 3-day water fast. And never was she hungry. Never was she grumpy. She was fine to be around. She slept great. And she just said, yep, that's what my body needs. And then she got just back on her normal routine. So it's at that point in the game, you start to listen to your body more, and then you start to trust it. You know, once you remove a lot of the phobias and a lot of the emotional issues. I mean, just quitting smoking, I think she only did the mindset like 2 or 3 sessions and just felt like a completely different person after that.
And a lot and of the programming too.
And that's honestly why it's the only device that I'll have in my office.
Because
I've seen the greatest number. I've seen the greatest results with this technology. Yeah. So that was her little story. And you know, I recommend doing detoxes seasonally because we're exposed to so many different chemical components out there.
Uh-huh.
Giving the body some sort of rest in the bombardment of food and, you know, things like that.
What kind
of gives the body a chance to rebuild?
Yeah. Getting back to the PTSD, Jessica, what kind of fight does the person's subconscious give you? I mean, does it fight back? Does the conditioning or the programming fight back?
Well, I think initially it's a challenge to break patterns because the body is a very highly addictive computer. So once it gets a pattern or a neural pathway created within itself, it no longer needs you there to be in the driver's seat of that command.
Uh-huh.
So like Susie, she almost drowned as a child. So she had a unconscious fear of water. So her body, when she was around water, would naturally say, we remember this trauma and there's a neural pathway here. So we're going to make you deathly afraid and you're not going to understand why. It's going to be unconscious, right? So in order to break that, it does take some time, you know, so it's not like one session and that phobia went away. Actually, I think she worked in that particular session doing the phobia of water for a few months, and then she was able to go scuba diving by herself with her family, which she wouldn't even go on a boat before.
Right.
So as far as fighting back, I think that self-sabotage is always a component because the body doesn't like to break patterns. Breaking patterns is change, and most fear-based thinking is afraid of change, you know?
Okay.
So when we change something, there's an unknown factor. So, yeah, there's a little fear that can get heightened. But that's why we use the component of using the meridian light and the sound therapy, because we're breaking the pattern with a neurofeedback system, with the binaural beat system, but we're also completely relaxing the body at the same time.
Okay.
So the body is, like, imagine having a deep, deep, deep massage, having your brain retrained into a pattern of, I am safe, I am healthy, I am thin, I am, you know, whatever, fill in the blank, and then having your brain rewired while you're getting a massage. So that's what this system does. It works on four different components. And so you're in a deep, deep state of relaxation. And I will tell you, the only way the body will allow any healing to occur is if it feels safe.
Yes.
You know, it's like if you're in a stressful and toxic environment, your body is going to just stay in fight or flight because it's got to keep you alive.
Yeah.
It's not going to say, okay, let's move to the other side of the nervous system and let's rest and repair and detox these organs over here and breathe the body very deeply and thrive and reproduce. And no, it's got to stay in fight or flight. It's got to stay full of adrenaline and cortisol and all of these hormones that keep the body synthetically moving on.
Yeah, yeah. Does the body, do you think the body or the subconscious has OCD, so to speak?
Well, OCD is kind of that compulsive disorder of control. It's like, yeah. I have to control this.
Okay.
So what that means as a mirror for the unconscious is I feel totally out of control. So most of the time when someone would come see me and say, oh, I have OCD, and so everything around me needs to be perfect and orderly, or I have this that I do every day at the same time, or I twist my hair, it's because the subconscious is so out of control and unorganized that the soul is actually trying to create balance. You see how out of control and in control creates balance.
Okay.
So whenever we're afraid, we want to control. We want to control. We want to know what's going to happen. We want to know what the outcome is. We want to know what everyone's next step is, because that's a survival issue. If I don't know what's going to happen in 5 minutes, I could be hurt. So control is all about fear. There's a deep level of wounding going on where I'm afraid and therefore I have to control everything. Does that make sense?
Yes, sure it does.
And that's a total subconscious response mechanism that you, most of the time we're not even aware of that's happening. Because the thing is when you look at this, the unconscious or the subconscious, that's below the surface. That's not in our conscious awareness. That's just a reactive response that the brain is signaling the body, and it's being triggered by whatever's around us.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of
you. So we've got to take the steps in order to not just work through this with therapy. Therapy's great. That's going to work on one aspect. It's going to work on some emotional release, you know, and which is very, very important. But we've also got to work on that nervous system. And we've got to work on the chemical component. We've got to get some healthy breathing going on. Breathing is one of the fastest ways to detox your body.
Is it?
And
okay.
If you do 5 deep belly breaths, right, and a lot of times people who have chronic fear or a lot of trauma in their body, it will actually be painful for them to breathe. So what we do is we take a breath and we bring it all the way down to the belly and we hold it and we release it. And if we can do that 5 consecutive times in a row, what that will do is it will tell the brain, I am safe. And it will move out of fight or flight for a moment and it will rest. And if we can do this throughout the day, we will start reprogramming our nervous system that, oh, I'm safe some of the day. Because here's the thing, the body will not breathe deeply when it doesn't feel safe. It's kind of like if you were hiding from a lion, you would hold your breath. You wouldn't be breathing deeply and making a big scene. You wouldn't want to be seen. And that goes back to our primal instincts of fear. So we shallow breathe, but that byproduct of shallow breathing is a lack of oxygen to the cells, and that's a chemical component that really can create the body to become very toxic.
Eddie's got a question for you, Jessica.
Sure.
He wanted to know, are you claiming to be extrasensory?
I am personally, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
An empath, more or less, right?
Yes, I am. I'm a medical intuitive, and I work as a medium as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to explain some of the things that you're capable of doing, or?
Yeah, sure. I mean, honestly, this all kind of came to me in meditation. I was that abused child, and I really needed to do a lot of self-healing on myself, and the only thing that ever made me feel safe as an adult was to go into meditation. And in meditation, I was able to do a lot of breathing work, and that opened up a lot of intuition for me. And intuition turned into kind of a clairvoyance experience, and the clairvoyance experience turned into I was able to see, and the best way I can describe it is kind of see outside of the veil or the matrix, so I could start seeing people's timelines kind of popping up. I could see trauma in the body. I could see people's thoughts.
Okay. Okay.
I could see, I had this one gal come into one of my locations that I owned back in the day, a nutrition store, and she walked through the door and I literally saw cancer in her breast, and I didn't know what to do with that information when it first came on, but I've been dealing with these extrasensory abilities for probably about 5-6 years now, and so I've pretty much acclimated myself to them, and I use them with, you know, obviously completely compassionate privacy for people, so I only use it in my work. I've learned to kind of turn it off because the world can be very loud.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see through everything.
Yeah.
But it makes my work very rewarding to be able to help people from where they are.
What sort of meditation do you do?
Well, it was funny because I kind of had, you know, no help around me, and I just had to sit one day and say, okay, I need to quiet my mind. I need to stop this thought. And, I just intuitively at the age of 30 just started deep breathing. And I noticed that as I was deep breathing, it almost felt like I was hallucinating a little bit because I was breathing so deeply and I was releasing toxins through breath. And, I had visions of my grandparents who had passed. I had visions of angels, and, you know, at first I thought, okay, well, this is fun. I'm just seeing, you know, I'm just hallucinating in this deep meditation. Because basically what meditation does is it stops the mind. It stops thought. And whenever you stop thought, it's almost like rebooting your computer,
uh-huh.
You know, because again, the body's running on circuits. And until you kind of unplug, you really don't know who you are. You're a byproduct of who everybody told you to be.
Right.
So when I started kind of getting that space between myself and all of my trauma and all of what everything I thought I had to be, I started tapping into like a higher level of energy, which I can only describe as, you know, the spiritual or the non-physical realm. I started to be able to communicate with that non-physical realm.
Okay.
Through meditation.
Okay. Yeah,
and now I don't need meditation to see that. I can just walk around my life and just be in that state.
Yeah.
It's almost like finding a radio station.
Uh-huh.
And keeping it on all the time.
Yeah.
Where before I would have to go into meditation and turn the radio on and hear what I had to hear. I'm not a channel. Like, I'm not one of these. I'm not like an Abraham Hicks. I don't have to connect. It's just always there. If that makes sense.
So you actually got into deep non-thought or deep.
Oh, I've been in some deep trances,
with just
sitting on the floor and gone to some cool places. And you know, in the beginning I thought, okay, that didn't happen. You know, that didn't happen. But what I did notice is that I really started to learn to trust myself because my knowingness would start showing up and I would know things before they were going to happen and I could see things. And so it started to give me confidence about, oh, this is really happening.
Yeah.
You know, I am really able to, and it was always about helping people. I've always wanted to help people since I was a little girl, and probably because I wanted someone to help me.
Yeah. Oh, I got to tell you something. One of the other hosts, actually two of the other hosts I've been helping out here, and I'm going to continue helping them out. They have some of the abilities that you have. She told me that I'm a manifester. I'm not sure what that means, but maybe you do.
A manifester?
Yeah.
Well, we're all manifestors. Manifesting is creating substance out of non-physical energy, so creating form. And you do that with your thoughts, beliefs, and feelings. So we're all manifestors. You hold a very unique energy in your body, though. You have, we talked about this before, you have, and everybody has a different name for this in their different spiritual realms, but you're an indigo energy, which is, you have that warrior energy that you are an advocate for change. You're an advocate for love. You're an advocate for, you know, the truth. And, you know, most of the indigos that I've met have had the most traumatic childhoods and the most traumatic past. And it's almost like we are the seed that's been stuffed into the dirt and we've had to fight for to find the light. And, you know, before we end off, it's just going back to the fact that no matter what we've been through, we all deserve to have a happy, joyful experience. We don't need to suffer. Suffering is a choice at this day and age because we have access to more information and truth on this planet now than we ever have before.
Suffering and ignorance. Ignorance,
it's a choice
and
at this
empathy.
Point.
Yes, it's a choice.
We have too much help and guidance around us at this point for us to be lost in fear.
Yeah.
But we do need each other because it's like we act at each other's blind spots and help each other remember who we are and what we're here to do. And what we're really here to do is we're here to love each other and help each other. And that's really it.
Yep.
And so you know, me kind of going through my own healing experience, my childhood and my own body, it gave me such a sense of compassion that I knew what other people were going through, and it just opened my heart if I could help someone in some way heal from something that I had gone through.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's what gets me up in the morning every single day and keeps me, you know, showing up for transcendence. So
okay.
It's like, because it is so rewarding to be able to help someone move from suffering into joy.
Well, you did only say you wanted to do an hour. I have put your website in there, transcendencekc.com into the I put it into the chat room, and I also wanted to say that Eddie went to your site when I put it in there the first time and seen, I think somewhere maybe in your about session section that you're empathic and have these abilities. So I guess that's why he asked.
Yep, that's us on the website. And, you know, why I opened Transcendence was I really wanted to create a space where people could come and heal and feel safe. And, you know, we have lots of different practitioners here on staff that can help with every different modality that you could be working with. I don't think there's really anything outside of you that you need to heal, but we do need each other to kind of hold each other's hand and help each other. And I, you know, in the age of technology, you know, yes, I'm extrasensory, yes, I'm a healer, all these things, and I can work one-on-one with people, but I would rather work with hundreds of people and get everyone well. And that's why we've kind of moved into this direction of, okay, so let's have lots of different practitioners all on the same mission geared towards bringing people out of suffering and helping people move into happiness and joy.
Well, there's another listener that put a couple comments in there. She says, this woman is good. We are here to love each other and help each other. Those are just the two comments. So,
absolutely. I mean, that's really, at the end of the day, that's why I'm on the planet. That's why I think we're all on the planet. And that's why I want everyone to get well, because then they can get back to doing that and feeling really good about that. Because most of us feel really, really great when we can give. And some of us don't know how to receive, you know?
Yeah,
that's true. And receiving help and receiving, you know, it's like we've been trained to not receive, because that's like saying it's a sign of weakness or vulnerability or, you know, lack of respect. But at the end of the day, the universe is set up in the giving and receiving process. And just like I need help, you know, I have friends and family around me who help me, I am here to help everyone else. So it's not like any of us have really any other mission besides moving towards love.
Well, would you like to give out any other site or any kind of contact information? Or
you can definitely follow us on Facebook, and we have Transcendence Wellness Center on Facebook. We try to post a lot of inspiring, educational, and plus all of our workshops. And, you know, a lot of our practitioners do Skype. I am someone who does Skype just because I like to reach as many people as I possibly can as far as clients go. But really the website is what we've got up right now, and that's www.transcendencekc.com. And we are a grassroots, you know, two basically mothers who started Transcendence from scratch and just have the desire of wanting a safe space to heal and a place to still be able to be a mom and do what we came here to do, which was, you know, help everyone get well. So, yeah, check our website out. It's going to be constantly growing. We're bringing some production aspects. We're going to be doing some online live streaming teachings. I'm a big advocate of teaching. I believe that knowledge is power. I believe that if you can understand your own body, then you are going to slightly move out of fear of it, and then we can get it well. So I'm a big advocate of education, from everything from being a powerful manifester and attracting abundance to healing your body to improving, you know, improving every aspect of your life, because it's really just one intention away.
Well, I hope you can just hang on for just another minute after I sign off here. I'll go ahead and talk to you for just one more minute off air, and then I will get to see when we will talk to each other next. And I think it's going to be very, very soon, but I don't want to get a miscommunication there. So
okay.
everyone, I'm going to end the show 1 hour early tonight. Jessica just wanted 1 hour, and I'm going to be doing some things. I will explain later, next time I see everyone. So tonight's Wednesday here in America. I will see everyone on Sunday evening. So thanks for coming out, and this has been Cancel the Cabal on PeoplesInternetRadio.com. I'm Stephen Roberts, and see everyone real soon.